You're listening to The Daily Football Show, Australia's number one football podcast dedicated to the beautiful game.
Well, there we have it. They've gone west in Sydney and west in Melbourne as South and Southern get the flick and Team 11 in Canberra are left to lick their wounds. But finally, we have some new blood. This is The Daily Football Show. Adrian Beaker-Horton with you, Joel Freeby-Ferrucci, Tony TP2-Pasolia, and Rob the Big Beef Crawford.
Hello.
Expansion.
Did you mention South Melbourne in your wash-up there?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. And Southern.
I didn't hear them.
South and Southern.
South and Southern. As we know, they got the flick. And Team 11 in Canberra, they'd be bitterly, bitterly disappointed not to have received an A-League licence. Of course, it's all come to a head today. At midday, there was a press conference from FFA HQ. And Joel, we have two new teams, and it has divided opinion. I know Rob enjoyed the angry reacts on the A-League feed.
Nothing says FFA press conference like a stream of angry reacts. Yeah. I'll give you an update on how many there are in a second.
Thanks for that, Big Beef. But Joel, how are you feeling about it all? It's finally happened. We've got two new teams, and where are you at with it all?
Well, there's a lot to take in, a lot of info to take in from the announcement this morning. So far as the clubs that have been selected are concerned, I've got no doubt that MacArthur Southwest Sydney will work. I think it's a great bid. Stadium's obviously ready to go. So big tick for me, growth corridor, fine. What I don't like about it is I don't understand why we need to wait a year for them to come in and allow the Wanderers some clean air at their new stadium. They've been in the A-League for X amount of years, and they've got the new venue. So if it's as good as they say it's going to be,
it's the AFL model, one at a time.
Why? Like, I don't understand.
They're already there.
I don't understand why we need to wait for them to come in. I find that bizarre. Western Melbourne Group. I really, really hope that they're successful. People that listen to the show regularly will know that my preference for Victoria was Team 11. But that said, I hope Western Melbourne Group works. I've got doubts in the short term about their identity as a club, because we know about their plans to put up their stadium, right? Which I think is great. Privately funded stadium, club-owned stadium, football first. It's something that we haven't seen in the A-League yet. I think that's great. But while it goes up, we could be looking at 3-4 years of Western Melbourne Group playing in Geelong at Cadinia Park, which is a good venue overall. We know it's not a football stadium, but it's not the worst fix in the short term. My concern is, though, that when they're in Geelong and the identity that they sort of have as the Western Melbourne Group currently is, how do they go about shaping their identity as a club? Do they include Geelong in that? Because we know that they're going to be playing in Tarnate. And from what we sort of understand, Geelong don't really consider themselves to be part of Western Melbourne, which they're currently coined as. So I'm just really intrigued to see how they're going to go about forging that identity. And I can't help but have some doubts about how that's going to work.
I think he's hit the nail on the head there, TP2. That's exactly what I've been thinking.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many freeway bypasses you build or fast trains that you put in, Geelong is still Geelong. It's not Melbourne. So you ask anyone who supports the Cats in the AFL and they will almost, to a man and woman for that matter, would suggest that they hate Melbourne with a passion. Their biggest frustration is the fact that they have to play games at Docklands, for instance, and they would rather play all their home games, including finals, at Cadinia Park. So it will be the biggest challenge that they have is forming that identity. I think pre-season matches, and we have the fortunate fact of having a 5-month pre-season, that's where the Western Melbourne Group will form that identity. And I think over that 3 or 4 year period, we'll have to do a lot of that sort of grunt work in the Western Melbourne community, but also look at how that Geelong relationship is formed and whether it's a long-term initiative to have maybe a dual stadium focus similar to what Melbourne Victory has with Docklands and Amy Park. So there's a lot to consider in that way going forward.
Big Beef, you've got something for us.
Stats update. 840 reacts total. nearly 600 of which are angry. About 150 likes and then a few love reacts.
Any
there.
Wows?
No wows from what I can see. I mean, look, to be fair, I chucked in an angry act as well just to kind of boost up the numbers.
You wanted Southern expansion in South Melbourne.
Yeah, I did. I was the real popular vote. Just letting everyone know, today's show is brought to you by the Wu-Tang Clan. Cash rules everything around me. Cream get the money, dollar bill, y'all. So just in case anyone have any doubt about the FFA.
Look, it wasn't like a World Cup bid announcement where some guy held up Qatar and you just, you know, your heart just dropped.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad, but maybe if you're a South Melbourne or a Canberra supporter, you probably were feeling a bit sick.
Wouldn't it have been good if they just they just went Tats Lotto style with all the balls with all the different teams in there? All right, we're just going to pick one and that's who it is.
No disrespect, or actually... disrespect to South Melbourne and Southern Expansion, who were never really on the radar, as we've found out. How would Canberra and Team 11 be feeling? Because I know Team 11 and Canberra, there's been a lot of murmurs in the last month and we received a lot of mail. I was convinced at 5 p.m. yesterday that Team 11 would be a part of the A-League next season. It hasn't happened. Interesting. Deadlines, in my opinion, at that level, that corporate level, should just be deadlines. As we know, the FFA get away with just extending them and pushing them out as much as they can. But what happened? Because I get the feeling... Yeah, I know. If this was a video podcast, everyone would have seen TP2 gesticulating with the little cash symbol there.
Oh, a bit of Wu-Tang Clan.
Bit of Wu-Tang Clan. How... I'm going to talk about Matt Winley. Just quickly, how devastated would he be after all the hard work that he's done? And look, all kudos to the two bids that have come in. For what it's worth, I think they can work. There's pros and cons to everything with both of them, and no doubt we'll speak about them with the two gentlemen soon. But how would he be feeling? Because all the mail was they're in, all the mail that we're getting from various sources is that they're in, and then at the 11th hour, and he might have been convinced himself, he might have been doing cartwheels only 24 hours ago, and the opportunity to become an A-League club is taken away from you. You got to feel bitterly disappointed for people like him and people at Canberra that probably also received mail at some point for us that they genuinely thought they were in.
Yeah, well, look, there's no doubt that Matty Winley will be shattered right now. He put a lot of hard work into that bid, obviously rolled the dice, left his position at the Herald Sun, which he'd worked a long time to get into that position as well. It wasn't just a case of him becoming a sports writer straight off the bat. He worked his way up to that position, left it to jump on Team 11, which was a project that he was extremely passionate about. And I think what sometimes gets lost in the expansion process is that he was actually full-time on Team 11's bid. And as far as I know, he was the only person from any bid that was actually full-time working on the bid. So... it's interesting to see what'll be next for Matty. I hope it's not the end of the road for Team 11, but clearly what brought them undone, and it is understandable in a lot of respects, was the stadium thing. And their bid was always going to live or die on the stadium arrangements. And in the end, as we heard from David Gallop at the press conference today, FFA weren't overly enthused by playing out of Casey Fields for a couple of years, which I guess is fair enough. Team 11 had made some plans to try and, I guess, make that into something of a semblance of a football venue, but it's an AFL venue and it's a pretty small one at that. So I can understand why FFA weren't pleased with it. And at the end of the day, when it came to their stadium, the proposed stadium, it was always going to be a case of who blinked first. It was FFA. FFA advising the Victorian government that they were going to award Team 11 a license, or it was the government advising FFA that they were going to award that project some funding, and in the end neither happened. So looking at it from that way, it's not so surprising to see that they missed out. I'm disappointed that they missed out because I think there's a lot of great things about the bid.
Yeah, certainly. I did as well. Tony, who did you predict coming in?
I had Canberra ahead of both Melbourne teams because
you had Southwest.
Southwest, yeah. Sydney, I just had a gut feeling that maybe the power influence would have been too strong in both Melbourne and Sydney to see expansion in those areas, but I was wrong on that count. But for what's traditionally known as a risk-averse organisation, I guess that there was a higher risk for them to go with Team 11, given, I guess, the state of play with that stadium and the funding. And let's face it, Western Melbourne Group maybe, for all we know, came good with maybe a few more dollars in terms of that licence fee. And from all accounts, that might have been the clincher for them if they were able to put an extra couple of million dollars on the table. And I think that the difference between the two bids in Melbourne is that Team 11 was very much a community bid, but also one that was entirely funded by local government from a stadium point of view. To have private investment come into the A-League at this level is a completely different focus than what we've had. So in a way, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on the Western Melbourne Group and how successful this bid is from its inception to completion, I guess in 5 years when a stadium is complete. Because if that model can actually prove itself, then going forward, I think the FFA and the A-League, and it might be a completely separate body in 5 years' time for all we know, will look seriously at, I think, any bid that is looking at a potential club in the future. You've got to bring, I guess, some private investment to the table, and you've got to have your own stadium. Because I think, you know, if you look at the MLS model, and much has been made of some of the new MLS franchises, Atlanta is probably the most recent example where, you know, they just played a cup final there in front of 70,000 people.
And won it as well.
That franchise did not exist 2 years ago. So, you know, we've got to get some of these models in place, thriving in the Australian climate. And you know, one of the biggest challenges we have is with infrastructure. And I think this is kind of a brave move by FFA. If it works, they'll be seen as almost having taken the risk, but actually having it carried it through to some success, which is, you know, ultimately what we hope both of these bids bring.
I've got one for you, but before I do, the Southwest Sydney bid for me makes sense because that area just lives and breathes football, as we know. Some of the greatest talents that we've seen in this country have come from that particular part of the world. Now, to my next point. And this is doing the rounds big time at the moment. Melbourne Victory, successful club, viable club, one of the only clubs, if not at the moment, because of the little malaise that we're seeing with Western Sydney moving out of their home and now having to go to the Solar Stadium, that is Spotless Stadium. They'll be fine. They'll get back on track, right? Where does this position Melbourne City? Because a lot of people have been speaking about it in the last couple of weeks, and now it's rife. If you go to Twitter, it is rife. So many people, I'm looking at tweets right now, people going, what will this do? Will it dilute Melbourne City's fan base at the moment that, I must say, is dwindling? Even the likes of Talking City, you know, the great fan channel that they do, and they've got a lot of respect from the club. Those boys, their confidence and trust in the City Football Group at the moment is waning. The Bruno saga hasn't helped. Are you a firm believer that this might really affect Melbourne City in a negative way? Where do you stand with it? Or will it incentivize them? Can it incentivize them? Talk about identity, Joel. I still don't know what they stand for.
Well, hopefully it gives them a bit of a jolt. The identity thing is the really interesting one. We've spoken a lot about this, and I know Joey has raised it a number of times, is will this, I guess, incentivize Melbourne City to maybe narrow or refocus their approach on their identity and into a certain catchment of Melbourne, potentially in the north where they're based. I'm not so sure they can do that because they've obviously been in existence as Melbourne Heart since 2010. So it's going to be challenging for them. But yeah, look, it'd be interesting to see how they respond. It's probably too early to say, and you'd have to survey a lot of their fans to see what they think. And I would love to actually hear from the club as well, from the higher ups, to see how it's going to affect them. But it's going to be interesting to see how they respond because I think the way things have been going, and I guess under some of the current management in terms of I suppose the way they've been approaching things on the field certainly hasn't really tickled many people's fancies. So
I think fans will jump. I think yeah, fans. Well, I think current.
It's not, yeah, exactly. It's
current it, Melbourne it, City fans that come out from that who are from that region.
Absolutely, yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind that, unfortunately, up to this point, I genuinely believe that the Melbourne City hierarchy and the team have not done enough to bring those people into their community per se, inverted commas. And I genuinely believe if you're from that region, and you've got a tribalism that you can tap into, and you've got something that represents the part of Melbourne that you're from, I know I'd be jumping ship.
Well, I think from what I've seen and from what I understand is Western Melbourne is mainly Victory people.
It is.
So that's what I sort of gauge from the Western Melbourne, I guess, catchment. But I suppose when I think about Melbourne City and the effect that it'll do on them, I think the way that, I guess, the club has kind of been set up and the mission, the kind of unwritten mission statement, if you like, to kind of be this, I guess, nurturer or feeder for the likes of Manchester City. And in some respects, we haven't seen it yet, but in some respects, New York City as well, being probably the next link up in the chain. It certainly isn't something that I think a lot of fans would buy. So that's what really worries me in terms of Melbourne City. But look, I hope all three can coexist. That would be great to see.
Look at this tweet, TP2. You love your Twitter. AJ at AJ Mithton. This will be a complete disaster for football in Australia. Once again, just a short-sighted, piss-weak decision from the FFA. There's a lot of angry people out there. Why is that, TPT?
Are they South Melbourne fans?
Well, or? I think for the two...
I asked TPT.
Sorry, I haven't said anything in a while. Tony, go.
What did I say before we came on the, came on air? There's a difference between a bidder that's successful and a bitter that's out there.
Exactly.
There's a lot of bitter people.
An Evertonian.
There's a lot of bitter people out there that are still frustrated with the fact that the A-League doesn't represent them. Well, you know, if you look at the catchments that both of the successful franchises, and we'll call them franchises for now, represent, there's you know, potentially 2.5 million people who haven't supported an A-League team who potentially will get on board. So... I don't tend to focus on the negative because you'll always get a negative response regardless of what decision we made.
Fair enough. Big Beef, go ahead.
I was going to say, in the long term, I think these are by far the two best bids because we know everyone talks about growth and development, all this thing. In 10 years' time, we'll look back at this and be like, gee, haven't these two teams done well? In the short term, it's going to be a little bit shit. And as we know, especially in football culture and internet culture, we live in the moment and people are like, oh, we want these teams now. South's got a team now. Canberra's ready to go now. It's going to take a little bit and there's going to be a bit of a teething process, but hopefully they've, you know, ironed out a lot of things and learnt lessons from previous, you know, bids, North Queensland, the Gold Coast. But I've no doubt in 10 years' time, you'll look back at this and be like, how good's West Melbourne? How good's South West Sydney? They'll be thriving. There'll be lots of people there who will have, you know, garnered around these teams and it will do well.
Only if certain things, like potentially independence, salary cap, and all the other things we know that are important, if those boxes get ticked as well, and then we get new blood into the league with new teams, then yes, I get your point. The other point I wanted to make, well, there's two. The first one is an 11th team comes in next season. So we've got 11.
Can't wait for bye week.
So we've got to wait for Southwest Sydney to come in the year after. Thoughts, queries, concerns, TP2, about that?
Well, ultimately what we're going to have next year is a longer season, but longer because one team's going to get a bye every week. Teams will play an extra 3 games a year. That's basically what will happen. What happens in season after that, when Southwest MacArthur Sydney, whatever they're going to be called, comes in, that's going to actually be a challenge for the FFA. It's pretty easy to actually add a team because you're just adding an extra round of games and probably you'll spread that over midweek fixtures with the bye and the way that it'll work. So the actual season won't extend too much. Fox Sports will get a bonus of an extra 30-odd games a season, and that's great. Everybody wins. But... I tend to agree with Joel, is that it's a bit nonsensical for mine to have Southwest Sydney sit it out for a year on the basis that you need Western Sydney Wanderers to sort of bed down a new stadium. Look, a little exercise for everyone at home, get on the Google Maps and type Pertec Stadium in and then do directions to Campbelltown Sports Stadium. It's 45 kilometres away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're completely different markets.
They're miles apart.
If Western Sydney Wanderers
fine.
Are shitting themselves because a new team a bit further south from them is coming into the competition...
That'll incentivise them.
I'd be really concerned. This is an Asian Champions League winning team. This is one of the most successful clubs since it's come into the A-League. How could it possibly be fearful? If anything, it's that first game between... if you're creative at your fixturing, that's the first game you have in round one. Imagine what this new Western Melbourne team, you'd almost, and this is where Melbourne City has its problems, is I would look at, you know, the idea that there might be a few Victory supporters jumping ship. I'd be playing Melbourne Victory against Western Melbourne right off the bat.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, the biggest threat to Melbourne City is Melbourne City. Because the only thing to me that they represent is the City Football Group. And Joel again makes a great point. The northern suburbs of Melbourne is football heartland. And no one's really explored the idea of, okay, you've got this great facility out at the Latrobe Complex in Bundoora, but if you drive a little further out to these places like Mernda and Doreen, where houses are just being built every day, an expansion right up to the city of Whittlesea. If you look at the city of Whittlesea, city of Darebin, city of Hume, if you can get almost engender that community to support your club,
mm.
I guarantee you their membership would double. And yeah, they might lose a few of those people that are sort of floating out in the west and the south.
Or scattered wherever.
But mm. the thing is that that membership is dwindling. And it look, it'd be a brave move for any club to say, we're going to change our identity or we're going to embrace a new identity. But at the moment, I don't feel like Melbourne City has an identity other than the fact that it's essentially a feeder club for the City Football Group.
Well said. Last point, and we're going to go long. It's a special show today, of course. FFA Chairman Chris Nicu said this first. He said, we would like to keep expansion on the agenda. Intertwined is a second division working group. More on that next week. Now, I find that really exciting. Logistically, can it work? I don't know. Maybe not. I hope it works. I'm an optimistic type of person, but if we could somehow pull that second division off, and the FFA genuinely sounds serious about it, that really tickles my fancy. And I think it's good to hear that amongst the messages of these two new teams. I like that stance from Chris Nicu. That gives me confidence that they're clearly looking long-term about trying to make this code a beast in 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, well, it's something that we need, and clearly it's going to be a long-term process. It's not going to be an overnight thing. But, I mean, that's where you can probably look at clubs maybe like South Melbourne and some of these bigger, in quotation marks, NPL clubs like Melbourne Knights or Sydney United or whoever. But it's something that we need.
Leichhardt.
Yes.
Don't forget him.
Who?
Arpia Leichhardt.
Yeah, of course. Just to name a few.
There's heaps of clubs out there.
And I mean, just to I guess point to how a second division is going to work, I suppose there's a lot of things that that need to go into it, and I'm sure we'll find out in due course. But the obvious thing is TV money.
Yeah, look, I'll hark back to a time. This is about 12 years ago when I was sitting around the executive table at FFE, and we were talking about high performance and what Japan were doing. And Japan had just released its 100-year vision, and part of that 100-year vision was 100 professional football clubs. They're probably halfway there. We're nowhere near that. We have, at the moment, we have 10 going on 11 and 12 professional clubs in Australia.
Yep.
What a second division could potentially do is help us bridge that gap, which is just forever widening in Asia. You know, if you go to Korea, Japan, and even some of the smaller countries like Malaysia and Thailand, their investment at the grassroots level, but ultimately at that level below their top tiers, is significantly better than ours. And for us to be anywhere near competitive going forward in Asia, let alone the rest of the world, we need to have a professional second tier and ultimately a third tier. And what that means, hopefully this working group can start to sort of build and unfold over the next, hopefully 5 years to next decade.
Very good stuff there, TP2.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football.
Well. Very good opening segment, lads. I reckon we covered most things when it comes to expansion, but
not enough.
The elephant in the room, well said, Big Beef, is the fans, of mm-hmm. course. We want to get their opinions and their say. Now, the idea is Steve Horvat, who's a part of the Western Melbourne bid, of course. He will be on tomorrow to talk about what, for them, is amazing news. They must be absolutely chuffed, and no doubt they'll be chugging a few back tonight. And then we're also hopeful, Joel, of getting Gino Mara on as well, who is involved with the Southwest MacArthur bid. So hold your horses. They've been doing the rounds with a lot of mainstream media today, but we'll speak to those two gentlemen in due course. Let's get to the fans and see what they had to say. Now, Big Beef, you've been all over this.
Mm.
The anger reacts.
Oh,
you've been enjoying yourself.
Oh, there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, and no doubt Tony, our Twitter celebrity over there, has been all over it on that particular platform.
I've just been reading comments on a few pages, our own, Expanding the A-League, the official A-League page, just getting a sense. But I've got a question for all of you. Has anyone spoken to Roberto Carlos about this?
No? Okay. I don't think so, but he's been doing the rounds.
Yes, he has been.
He's been a prominent figure on some of the social media platforms. Paul Morgan, this is on our Daily Football Show Facebook page. He says, ding dong, the A-League's dead. Which A-League? The Hyundai A-League hashtag circus. So he's not happy about that, Frush. What do you reckon about that?
South Melbourne fan?
Maybe. Who knows? We might have to look into his profile and see if it's public, of course. Craig Baldwin says, new board, made a lot of difference. Canberra has every right to feel gutted. It's wrong. There we go. That's a pretty constructive opinion. Tony, what have you got for us? What have you seen?
Well, I think soccer Twitter is probably at that point where it's potentially going to break at some point this afternoon, because there's been a lot of chat, a lot of negative chat. But there's a fellow on Twitter who goes by the name of John Smith. I don't know if that's a Doctor Who reference.
Definitely real name. Definitely real name.
Okay, come on.
His handle's L Vandal. I love the tweets from the bitters complaining that their poorly supported clubs didn't get in. Bring me your delicious, delicious tears.
Loving it.
So there's a few people loving it.
On the official page, Patrick Steele said, who cares? You've done everything possible to destroy this league. It is now dead. And then, and the next comment says, sook. So
now, Joel, it wouldn't be social media in the world of Australian football without a hashtag gallabout. So the gallop out, courtesy of Kieran Harbis. Thanks for that, mate. He got a fair bit of love for that one. So anyway, that's another one.
Was he the guy that preferred savoury shapes?
to barbecue or pizza?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
When we did our some in-house gags last week, and we asked the fans whether they preferred barbecue or pizza, and I'm pretty sure he said he preferred savoury.
There has to be one.
Someone called George wrote shame and disgrace in Greek. I just translated it, so thank you, George.
Matt Corbury, just be happy we have new clubs joining.
Exactly, guys.
Did you just have a Skinner attack?
No, I just went higher up a little bit.
I think you did. What about some of the big swinging dicks out there? You know, what about some of the...
Like Jack Lawless.
Well, we know Joel's one of them. But...
What a joke. I'm not following this stupid league any further. NPL is a lot more credible.
No, it's not.
And then someone said, called Mark, said, Jake, we won't miss you. See you later.
Haley Leadham. At @Haley_Leadham on Twitter.
I think it's Leadham, you'll find.
Oh, whatever. How many countries don't have their capital city represented in their top tier league? Asking for a mate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how many countries actually created a capital city because they couldn't agree on either whether it was Melbourne or Sydney in the first place? I mean, come on.
At least two.
Canberra.
Us and Brazil. So that's at least two. At least two.
It's just a sentimental argument. I actually like the idea of Canberra coming in at some point just to add a new market, but... Yeah. Yeah.
They can call it the Prime Minister's 11. It'll be great.
Oh, jeez.
Liam Berry said, why so much negativity? Yes, they could have selected regions that better depicted what fans want, but this is the first step to reinvigorating the league with expansion and one day promotion relegation. The more sides, the better at this stage. One first step in the right direction. Well done, Liam.
So it's too much, though, to say...
Thanks
to
for
say,
being positive, Liam.
It's too much, though, to say, you know, look at or pick what fans wanted. What does that mean? I mean, which fans?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how many football fans are there in Australia? Everyone wants something different.
Well, it's so what does that mean? There's not many of us.
Well, speaking of fans, so Andrew Howe, who's the stats guru for the FFA, also works for the ABS and is a population stats guru. Population of Melbourne West plus North West plus Geelong is 1.48 million.
Mm-hmm.
So up 36% in the last 10 years. And the population of Sydney South West plus Outer South West, whatever that is, equals 710,000, up 21% in the last 10 years. So... when you look at that catchment, there's an additional 2.3 million fans that we can potentially engage.
I've got a curveball for you guys. Now, of course, we know we need to expand the league even further. Still one market, an elephant in the room that has not been tapped into by any mainstream codes. Yes, they've got a BBL side down there, the Hobart Hurricanes. Of course, it is Tasmania.
Gaylacanes!
Gaylacanes! The Bev Show! AFL and rugby continue. Yes, we know that North Melbourne and Hawthorn are down there, but they continue to just disregard that particular area of Australia. The chance is there. I genuinely believe the chance is there for the FFA at some point, maybe in the next round of expansion, for Tasmania to throw themselves back in the ring. Do you reckon that'll happen, Tony?
Second division, yes. The biggest problems faced by those smaller markets like Tasmania, so again, where do you put it? Hobart, Launceston? There's this great divide in Tasmania between the north, west, and south, which has existed for basically 200 years since Western civilization. So Tasmania is difficult. How do you get good commercial corporate dollars backing a Tasmanian bid? And that's really the reason there's no AFL club in there.
Logging the forests, maybe?
Yeah, you probably don't want to do that.
Joel, one of your favourites? Is it Joel?
Is Bob Brown still kicking around? I don't know.
I think it's Farouche. Are you the one that loves Titus O'Reilly?
No, I can't stand him.
Okay, well, here we go. At Titus O'Reilly on Twitter, the A-League expansion means Melbourne may finally get a second A-League team.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? I'll give him that one. That's pretty funny.
There was someone in the CAF group wrote, because as we all know, the Melbourne Victory fans like to sing the song, there's only one team in Melbourne. Well, guess what? And he wrote, there's only three teams in Melbourne. So there you go. There's only three teams in Melbourne.
Well, there's two in Melbourne and one in Victoria.
Yeah,
that's three in Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah, we understand that. Mass. What else we got? Anything else? Big Dave?
I've been having an argument with someone called Nick Brazanic on the Expand the A-League page. Because he said, I will never watch or attend an A-League game ever again. FFA were never interested in expanding the league into new regions. They're only interested in money and investment from Fox Sports. Disgraceful. And I replied, if there wasn't Fox Sports, there wouldn't be a league. And then we continued to argue from there. So go to the Expand the A-League page and you can like all my comments and remind Nick that he's wrong.
He's working hard today, Big Bafe. Yeah. I like it. You keep working the Twitter sphere or the Facebook sphere, whatever you're on. I think that's just about it. I think we can kind of wrap it up there. I don't know if I've got anything else. Tony, is there anything else you've come across?
Yeah, interesting tweet from Richard Hines. Okay. I think he's the ABC journo now, residence sport journo. Biggest takeout from the A-League expansion presser, second division working group to be established. That's where the growth will come from.
Correct. That is something that I'm exceptionally excited about. Joel, you've had enough. You can't be bothered with trolls and social media people. Some of them, don't get me wrong, very constructive, and we appreciate their opinions and the ability to read them out on air, but you don't really care for it, do you? We need to move on.
We do.
We do. Okay, we've covered it to death. Let's get out of here. On the other side, we've got no Eurosnob for you, but we're going to talk about the pasty Pirlo, because unfortunately, he's out of the Asian Cup.
You're listening to The Daily Football Show, the voice of Australian football.
No Eurosnob today, but
no.
Liverpool are playing Manchester United on the weekend, so just remember that.
What time is that on?
3 a.m. in the morning on Monday.
That'll be good.
I reckon I'm going to go in. Bugger it. I'm going to come in late. I'm calling the shots here.
That's fine.
I'm just going to come straight in for the show.
All right.
We've all been working hard. It's been a big year.
Yeah.
We've put in some hard yards.
As you said, we're crawling to the end.
We are. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy myself. But anyway.
What time's the game?
It's a big game.
Late again?
I said that. 3 a.m. Monday morning.
3 a.m. It's a sexy time of 3 a.m.
Yes, the sexy time. Socceroos news before we do go out. Huddersfield Town have confirmed that Aaron Mooy, the pasty Pirlo, will miss the Asian Cup. So he's out until February, we believe. He's got an MCL tear and says he's gutted. Well, you would be, Farouche. It's horrible news for Aaron, but an opportunity. Like, you look at Huddersfield Town, that'll be gutted because this is a massive blow to their chances of surviving the drop. But a blessing in disguise, it might give a youngster a chance at the Asian Cup.
Well, doesn't even have to be a youngster. It could even just be someone like Terry Antonis, who, funnily enough, Tony, I mean, we were speaking exactly why he probably wouldn't get to the Asian Cup on Monday. And, you know, since we learned about this injury news, it's kind of been about why he might get into the Asian Cup. So who knows? And I think it's really interesting as well that in Terry's case, if it's him that cracks into the squad, the story that would go with it. You know, obviously the guy got into the Asian Cup squad in 2015 and Aaron Mooy missed out in, I guess, as Terry was picked in favour of Aaron Mooy, so I just find that really interesting. But I mean, he straight away, I think, given the nature of the two players, he kind of makes sense.
I think Mustafa Amini and Jimmy Jego might have something to say about that, but it will be interesting because, yeah, you're right. It's history repeating itself. You could well find that Aaron Mooy never plays an Asian Cup ever.
Oh no,
you just can't make it into that Asian Cup squad for whatever reason.
I had a good chat to Matt Benici from Talking City.
Benici.
Benici.
MB.
before they jumped on and did their Talking City podcast, of course. And they got a few plugs today. And interestingly, we were speaking about the Asian Cup. I'm not like I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not like super pumped up, and I don't think it matters too much in the grand scheme of things if Australia, you know, maybe bow out in a semi-final. I think that's the minimum. We've got to try and ensure we get to a semi-final. If we bow out, yes, it'll be disappointing.
I think it's wrong to say it doesn't matter though.
Yeah, I know that, Joel. I know I'm not trying to play down the significance of it, but the fact is we won it the last time out, 2015. This is a transitional period for the Socceroos, and I think it's all about just preparing ourselves and getting ourselves ready. Arnie tinkering and experimenting for the first 12, 18 months and then bedding down exactly who the long-term Socceroos are going to be. Who's going to rise to the occasion? Who's going to take over the mantle of Timmy and Millay? And I think it's all about just preparing these troops for not a competitive Socceroos, a Socceroos at the next World Cup that can actually legitimately do some damage and get back into the knockout stages and put ourselves back on the world map. That's why with me in the Asian Cup, I just don't have the same appetite.
Well, the worst case scenario is because it's an expanded tournament, I think there's six groups of four teams, and there's a round of 16. So if you don't actually make it to knockout tournament football, i.e. be one of the best third place finish teams, you've really failed. So, we have to be in the round of 16.
I think
quarterfinals at a minimum. The expanded draw does mean that you could potentially draw a Korea or a Japan in a quarterfinal. But, I think we should just be aiming to win the damn thing.
Yeah, of course we should be aiming to win. I say that all the time. Every Asian Cup we go into, the aim is to win it. No doubt about that. But it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not the big prize.
No. But it's not the worst thing in the world. I'm more motivated and I'm, you know, really excited about the possibility of Graham Arnold potentially moulding this squad into something that's not just competitive at a World Cup, a squad that can actually do some damage. And I think that's what the key focus should be on. But anyway, meanwhile, the Sydney Morning Herald has reported that Aston Villa are interested in Brandon O'Neill and Josh Risden. A London-based club is also buying O'Neill.
Aston Villa?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I'll go on.
London? They're in Birmingham. No, another London club.
Oh, what?
I read it properly. Another London club is also eyeing him.
Because it says here in London. Yeah, sorry. I read it, you saying Aston Villa is in London. I was like, yeah,
I'll spell, it out to Rob again.
Okay. A London-based club is also.
Aston Villa.
Yeah.
They're interested.
Gotcha.
And also a London-based club is interested.
Which is not Aston Villa.
Which is not Aston
Villa. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
You got it. Good man. Risden is also drawing interest from a more northern team. Is that in England, Frisch?
Yes.
So, okay, it's Middlesbrough. Great. So, we're just going to say it's Middlesbrough. Brandon O'Neill, he'll be disappointed.
Branners.
He'll be disappointed because he's a big Leeds man. Yeah. We spoke to him the other day, of course. Leeds, come on. You got to have a look at Branners. Loves the club, great attitude, very sprightly. He's the type of guy, I reckon, Rob, that if he stepped in some dog shit and then he crashed his car that day and then something else just randomly bad happened to him, that he'd just brush it aside and get on with life.
Yeah,
Have you ever spoken to a more positive character?
It's actually funny you mention that because a friend of the show was on the quiz on Friday. Andy Tin sent me a message saying, just finished listening to the Branners interview. Sounds like that guy was smiling the entire time. And I'm like, you're right. He's just a genuine dude who loves life. So good on you, Branners.
And I'll be loving life because if he gets a move to the championship, that's a great reward for his consistency in the A-League.
We should share that interview with Leeds United and maybe some footage of that cracking goal he scored a couple of weeks ago.
We could start it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Let's get him to Leeds.
I like that. Aston Villa would be pretty bloody good as well. Let's move on. UCL this morning. Real. They went down 3-0 to CSK. Did anyone say that one?
No. It's too early.
Victoria Plzeň. They beat Roma 2-1. Interesting result, that one. Ajax and Bayern played out a bloody thriller.
I've looked into this.
3-3.
Three all, a 90th minute, and then a 95th minute equaliser, and a few red cards. So just a great game.
Lyon progressed. They got a 1-1 draw away to Shakhtar. That's a big, big result. Man City 2, Hoffenheim 1. Who cares? Young Boys 2, Juventus won. Massive, massive result.
Yeah.
For young boys.
As we pointed out in yesterday's show, which you missed, Adrian, there was only actually one game which mattered for anyone actually qualifying, which was the Shakhtar Lyon game. So as if you go back and look at the team sheets, there was a lot of fresh faces in all the teams that had qualified. So these results with Real, Juventus and Valencia, Manchester United. Yeah. I mean, when Phil Jones is playing, you know, there's not much going on.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, and everyone likes to have a bit of a laugh at Man United. Yes, we are jealous. They've won all these titles in England and more than us. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Just puts it through his own net from about 25 yards. It's an absolute corker. Have you seen it, Frush?
No, I actually haven't. I've barely seen any of the action this morning.
Oh, that's fine. I get that. Quick note from yesterday. It turns out that Trent Sainsbury's 15 clearances against Inter was the most of any player in this entire Champions League campaign. That's in one game, of course. That is unbelievable. Well done, Turn.
Against his old club.
And he got Spurs through.
Damn straight.
Why'd you do that, Turn? No, I like it. Good on him. It was a big performance. And he needed it, didn't he, Frish?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he started two games in a row now in all competitions. So a start in the Eredivisie and a start in the Champions League now. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? This could be a watershed moment for him. This could be, you know, that little kind of streak that he needs to really hold down that position and not give it up.
Lovely. Now, Big Beef. Hit us. What have you got?
Croft's mail. Leaving this to the end of the show, because we like to reward our listeners who stick out for the end of the program. So
a lot do.
I have a bit of mail regarding expansion and a certain expansion candidate by the name of South Melbourne. Now, I'm not going to be naming any names here or people involved in it, but basically the mail we were given was that the activeness, if you could say that, of South Melbourne fans on social media and the way they were getting involved and, I guess, say, pestering people involved in the bid scared off a lot of people who could have potentially come in to help the club get in and also were, you know, helping the result that South Melbourne didn't get in. So essentially their own fans kind of, you know, pushed the bid out in a sense by their general behaviour on social media and how they reacted with people from the FFA and things like that. So
fans grateful.
Yeah, bit of an unfortunate for the, you know, the South Melbourne fans who didn't do anything like that. But unfortunately, there was some toxicness from some people that actually affected their bid. And yeah, so that was my mail, and I heard that from a few people. Obviously, can't name them. So that's Croft's mail for the week, guys.
Croft's mail. That is very, very powerful mail. Mm. I don't mind that. Team names. We're going to do this?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got our new A-League teams. We've got Southwest Sydney. We've got the Western Melbourne group. Well, let's just drop the group. Western Melbourne.
Yep.
Team names. Let's go around the room. What have we got? What are we thinking?
Southwest Sydney Wombats. So I've got the Wombats. And of course, I think the most obvious one, Legia West Melbourne. So that's what we're going with. So Legia West Melbourne coming in. Can't wait for them. All those Polish people out there in Western Melbourne. Tony?
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, I've just always wanted a team in any competition to be called the Cougars.
The Cougars?
It just adds so many possibilities.
What about the Dilfs?
Well, maybe Gosford or the Mariners could rebrand. But so I'm gonna award that to Western Melbourne. They'll be the Western Cougars.
Okay.
And I think they might go to Campbelltown because of where they play. We'll call them the Campbelltown Comets.
Ooh.
The Comets?
Yeah.
I don't mind the Comets. What about Fruki?
Campbelltown. Oh, yeah, tough one. Sporting Campbelltown.
Sporting Campbelltown?
Sporting.
Yeah, and to kind of draw on the whole MLS thing.
Real Tarnate.
Real Tarnate. No, thank you. Not Real Salt Lake. Tarnate. Oh, jeez.
What are we thinking?
Athletic or Tarnate?
Tarnate. Tarnate Taipans?
Tarnate Tigers.
Yeah, Tarnate Tigers. Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Maybe. This would be a real kick in the guts, but there's a lot of people that are happy about Western Melbourne. Yeah. And they're saying, well, they have to be the Wolves.
Oh, nah.
Rough.
That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt a lot of people.
That'd be a massive kick in the balls.
A massive kick in the balls. Now, I don't really have any, but what I do have is I Google searched really funny team names, and I went to the first page on the Google search, and these are some of the things that they've got on here. It's clearly like a bit of a piss take. It's like your Div 4 indoor team, and you make a stupid name for them. These are some of them. Serial Killers. As in the cereal you eat in the morning.
Yep.
Straight off the couch.
Yep.
Bad intentions.
Bad intentions.
Chicks with kicks.
Chicks with kicks.
Not fast, just furious.
Gee,
superheroes in training. This is my favorite one, though. Smells like team spirit.
Get out.
Very, very good.
We should have had that for the team bus on the Asian Cup journey.
Yeah.
And then this one. Run like the winded.
Run like Wyndham. There you go.
Run like the winded.
Run like Wyndham.
Our uniforms match. Forgot to warm up. These are awful. Game of Drones. That's all right. Don't mind that one.
God.
East of the equator and then scrambled legs. Anyway.
I reckon someone's just going to get called Rangers. There's going to be a Rangers. It's a popular world name in football. So.
Wallabies?
Wallabies. Yeah, where's Melbourne Wallabies?
Because we need some W alliteration. So the Wallabies, the Wolves...
The Wallaroos, the Wombats.
Surely the Worms.
If West Melbourne are called Rangers, surely they can't sign Scott Brown.
Brown, he just wouldn't come.
Of course he wouldn't.
Well, it's going to be called Welbeck FC, as we know.
So. Let us know yours. DFS_AUS on Twitter and Instagram. Daily Football Show on Facebook. Let us know. Maybe we'll put that out there for us. Chop it up.
Why not?
See what people think. It's a little bit of fun. Tomorrow, Scott Miller, of course, our tactician. Our mastermind to preview some of the big A-League clashes on the weekend. I think he'll be no doubt speaking about the little matter of a Sydney derby for us.
Yes, for sure.
What other game will we give him?
Let's have a look.
What are we thinking?
Well, tomorrow's game even going
ahead. Yeah, but tomorrow's game's not bad. Brisbane Roar versus Melbourne Victory. But we've done Melbourne Victory a little bit, so maybe we'll go away from that. Right. Maybe Adelaide versus Melbourne City or Newcastle versus Perth Glory.
Okay.
On Sunday.
We've got the quiz... Big chance for Wellington, by the way.
As if we're not doing Knicks Mariners tomorrow.
We should do Knicks Mariners.
Yeah. Do we want to? All right, let's do Knicks Mariners.
Let's do it.
Yeah, bugger it. Let's give them some love. Don't forget, tune in, 4 p.m. Eastern, Monday to Friday. Daily Football Show, iTunes, Spotify, the Google Podcasting app. Thanks for listening. Got a couple of teams. We're starting to tick some boxes, finally.
This has been a Podular Media production.